this morning I'm going to share what I said earlier. What would happen if we get serious about the Holy Spirit operating in our life? Because you see, in those nine gifts that he gives away, and by the way, this morning I have my notes on Holiday Inn Express paper here. One of the men in the deal said this morning, said, "Well, wow, something fresh," and you know, this is fresh, okay? So I need to lay my notes out here, and let's see, I got one. Oh yeah, there's some on the back of that one. I knew there was another page. I thought it was. So I'm going to give you what the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Is that fair? I'm going to share with you, and then tonight we'll be praying for the sick tonight as well. We'll pray for people that need miracles this morning, because Dee's going to come in just a second and just give you a highlight of her testimony. We're going to show you a video that ABC Television did and of her testimony. God did a miraculous thing in her life, and we're going to share that tonight. We'll be praying for the sick tonight, but the main focus tonight will be on the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how many of you teenagers, are y'all all in, I'm sure y'all in the youth group. Where's your youth, who's your youth leader? Youth pastor. Guy with the beard, right here. Okay? I want to commend you that all these young people sitting up here on these front rows, plus, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, tonight's your night. Say, "Well, I don't come on Sunday night." I would. I'd be here tonight. Well, you don't understand. There's a ball game on today. You know, Peyton Manning is going against Tom Brady. I don't give a rip. I don't even give a holy rip. I love football, but my thing is this. 92% of churches that I was in last year don't have Sunday night service. When I was in 51, 92%. Now, if they don't have Sunday night service, that's okay with me. I don't argue pro and con on that. I'm just saying, though, you have Sunday night service, don't you? Every week, or unless it's snowing or icing. You say you just want a crowd. Nah, I don't want you to miss what God's got for you. Amen? Amen. Honey, come. You say, "Well, you're whipping us." No, I'm not whipping you. I'm loving you. I'm loving you. I want you to, I want this lady right here, 1995, the video you're going to see was done in 1997. So we look a little different on the video. I got a little more gray hair. I had a lady come up to the table a few weeks ago, and she said, "Sir, do you dye your hair?" I thought, "Are you dumb?" I told you I think just like you do. I'm not sanctified, folks. Well, I get mine every day. I didn't get it all at one time. And I thought, that's, you know, she got to be dumb. And I said, "Dummy me. Dummy me." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I buy it at Walmart. It's called Midnight Gray." And Dee said, "Why don't you tell her Midnight Gray? Where did you come up with that at?" "I don't know." And then I looked at her and I said, "No, ma'am. That's all natural." So anyway, we look a little bit different on there. But I want Dee to share with you. And then I'm going to show you this little video. It's only a couple of minutes. And then I'm going to finish up.
Good morning, church. It's neat to stand here. November of 2013 marked my 18th year of being cancer-free after having been diagnosed. Yes, it is worthy. My cancer was found through an emergency exploratory surgery on a Sunday morning. They thought I had an abdominal blockage. It wound up being a golf ball-sized tumor that the cancer itself had already formed lesions in my lymph nodes. And in that surgery, they removed the golf ball-sized tumor and were to remove my colon. I was to have a bag for the rest of my life. I stand here today before you as then, no bag, full use, and to God be the glory for anything that we deem impossible. I don't understand it. Pastor Debbie just said, she said, you know, it never gets old. It doesn't get old to me either. In fact, through the years, it's just become more precious. At the time that I had my surgery, I had never been around anyone with a colostomy. In the years to follow that, my mother had to have a colostomy. So I began to see a little bit of the things, the goodness of God and His mercy toward me. He knew that my steps, we weren't doing that then. I don't think I would have been able to make the trips to India and Africa and all the things that God had ordained for me had God not done the work in my body that He did back in 1995. But I stand before you today with the Lord just dealing with me to daily look at the benefits that He has for me. It's in His word that He daily loads us with benefits. And I've begun to say, Lord, how many of those have I laid down? How many have I not prayed through? How many have I thought I wasn't worthy of? What are your daily benefits for me? So for some of you that have sat here and you've been waiting for that miracle, 5 years, 2 years, 6 months, I was reminded even again this morning of the woman that waited for 12 years with the issue of blood, but it came. And the man of 38 years that sat with the pool, but his miracle came. So in my heart this morning for the chronic issues, Pastor alluded to this last night, and he got all in my business because I've been kind of fussing with the Lord and myself thinking, God, you know, of these chronic things that you deal with. And he said, why don't you take it on and say, God, that's my daily benefit, and I'll trust you for it. We have to keep praying. We have to keep trusting. We have to keep telling the good news of the things that God did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Do your grandkids know? Do your children know what God's done for you? We're instructed in the Word to tell it. I have to tell what God's done for me. I encourage you, know this, that He has daily benefits for you, and He wants you to tell what He's already done. It will encourage you for what you need yet. God bless you.
Sure. Go ahead and roll that video, buddy. You'll see this video that ABC Television did. Go ahead and roll it. And they did this. No, that's not it. That's not the right one. The reason I want you to see this, you'll see the doctor. Some of you said, well, we saw it when you were here.
He was a little lost child. His family fled Cuba with nothing but the clothes on their backs. They settled in the South Bronx. At 12, Dave Remedios ran away from a broken home, spent 3 years living on the mean streets of New York.
I would sleep on the subway.
But despite his circumstances, Dave believes God was always there.
He was not looking at me as the young boy who was wandering through the streets of New York homeless, but he was looking at a surgeon and someone who could be an instrument in his hands.
Dave did grow up to be a surgeon, and in December 1995, he was faced with the most difficult case of his career.
The pain was intolerable.
Dee Sapp, a close friend, was near death. A huge tumor had caused her colon to swell. If it burst, she would almost certainly die. Dee's husband, Gary, will never forget it.
Dave said to me, he said, let's pray. And I'll never forget it.
We had agreed that he would take an active part in the operation and that the angels would be there in that operating room.
Dr. Remedio says he did things in the operating room he has never done before, guided, he believes, by angels.
Did you feel the presence of anything in the operating room?
Absolutely. Definitely, there's no question about it. I could just feel the tangible presence of God in the operating room.
What Dr. Remedios did not and could not know was that he was not the only one seeing angels.
They were actually inside my body, and they were in my abdominal areas. That it was like they were small children, and they were jumping up and down and laughing and rolling and tumbling around. When they left me, the words they left me with were, "Be at peace, all is well."
Whatever happened in that operating room, Dee's recovery was miraculous. She was out of the hospital in 4 days instead of 4 weeks. There was no colostomy. Instead, her bowels and colon returned to normal function almost immediately. Nurses were astounded.
"You're not excited. You're not excited. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, I just went to the restroom." She said, "But you don't understand. Nobody does that."
But the biggest miracle came a year later when Dr. Remedios told Gary the colon he'd removed was back.
I said, "You mean to tell me the almost 3 feet of colon you cut out is back in her body?" He said, "Yeah, and I don't." He said, "All I can tell you, that's a miracle of God."
Heavenly Father, we just thank
you. Dr. Remedios believes it was no coincidence that the little Cuban boy from the South Bronx, who grew up to be a praying surgeon, was in that operating room that night with the lady and the angels. It was, he says, a divine appointment.
There's absolutely nothing too difficult for God, that it don't matter where you are, what circumstance you might be going through, He's more than able to lift you out of it. I'm a living proof of it. I'm absolutely a living proof of it.
See, that would not have happened if Dave Remedios, who that doctor himself has fought cancer since this, but God healed him. If he had not been serious about the Holy Spirit operating in his life. The problem I find in the church world today is that we are not serious about the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. We go about our daily activities, we do what we need to do, and we just do whatever sometimes, and when we feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we will react to it, sometimes we just pass it off as if it's us, when it's actually Him, and you have to know the difference. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I know He speaks audibly. This book says He does. And in Acts here, chapter 1, which most of us know, in verse 8, He tells the disciples, "You need to go, and then you stay there till you receive the power of the Holy Ghost." What happens if I get serious about the Holy Ghost? What will happen to my family if I get serious about the Holy Ghost? Can I tell you, if I could put them all in a nutshell, and I'll share a few of them with you, but if I put them in a nutshell today, if you get serious about the Holy Ghost, your whole family will change. Not just your immediate family. You'll see others come into the kingdom that you've been praying for years when you really get serious about the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Yeah, I speak in tongues. I tell anybody that. I was talking the other day to my friends over at Duck Dynasty, and yes, we do know them. You don't have to come ask us. They are close friends. They are the same nuts in person there on TV. Cy is no different. They're like that. I was over the other day for a couple hours at the office. They know I'm a tongue talker. But can I tell you something? It doesn't bother them. I'll tell you, my prayer is, I want to get so serious about the Holy Spirit operating in my life that I am able to lead them into the fullness of the gifts that He gives away. I'm praying for an open door, that Phil will find that door, and I'll be there to help him. And I'm praying that he will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I am that serious about the third person of the Godhead operating in my life. Because when I get serious about it, things will change in my life. Things will change in my family's life. I will have power according to the word of God that I do not have now. Because there's something about praying in tongues, and the part I love is the devil don't know what you're saying. And the other part I love is that you don't either. Hello? But the thing of it is simply this. Like this morning, when I was praying in tongues this morning, I prayed for a while, and it was like nothing. And all of a sudden, I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, I felt a breakthrough. That's the Holy Spirit. When you get serious about Him, He will get serious about you. Because it's the power that comes from being able to pray in an unknown tongue for things you don't have a clue what you're praying about. When you get serious about the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you to do things that aren't even normal to the modern thinking. You'll go, whoa, do that? Had a pastor tell me this story. I'll relate it to you quickly. Man in his church made an appointment with him. Young man, been saved just not long and had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to John Lindell this week, a friend of mine that pastors up in Missouri, James River, has 11,000 people every Sunday. As I sit and talk with John as we were eating lunch just Friday, John said, we baptize every Sunday. He said, the water in the pool just gets extra chlorine. He said, we never take the water out. We have baptismal service every Sunday. Last year, we baptized in water 856 people. He said, you know why we did that? Because they got saved. If they get saved, they need to get water baptized. Don't wait 2 or 3 weeks later. Do it right then. He said, matter of fact, he said, the Holy Spirit gave me a thought. This is what we do. We have extra clothes for them. We have hair dryers. We have makeup for the ladies. We have gel for the men. He said, after church, they get saved. They go get baptized. And then they have their dressing room. He said, and then they can go home just like they came. Nobody ever knows they're any different except they got water baptized. He said, then, he said, on Wednesday nights, we have Holy Ghost night. And we let them come and we teach them about the Holy Spirit, how serious it is to be involved, how the Holy Spirit should be involved in your life. Give them a chance to receive the tongues. He said, we are Pentecostal. And people say, if you're Pentecostal, they won't come. 11,000 show up at his church on Sunday. Hello? I don't think you got to water down the Holy Spirit. And I think it's time that Assemblies of God churches in America got more serious about the Holy Spirit than what we are. We need to be secret sensitive because, you know, that we'll run them off. If you're a visitor today, you won't get run off, I promise you. Because He is a gentleman. He's never hurt anybody. He's never offended anybody. But when I get serious about the Holy Spirit, I'll do things that ordinarily I would not do. Because you know why? Because I am so close to Him in relationship that He talks to me and I talk to Him. Pastor told me about this young man, came in his office. Pastor, he said, how do I hear from God? I want to hear from God. How does the Holy Spirit talk to me? Pastor said, well, he said, the simplest way, since it's not audibly, he said, it's like an urging. It comes into your mind. It gets into your mind. You can't get rid of it. If you follow what He tells you to do, you can't get rid of it. It's like urgings. It's like a little thought. And they talked for about an hour. The young man left, got in his car. As soon as he got in his car, single young man, the Holy Spirit said, go buy a gallon of milk. He said, I thought, I don't need a gallon of milk. I'm single. I got milk at home. He said, I pulled out of the parking lot of the church. Holy Spirit said, go buy a gallon of milk. Stop by Walgreens. Told him where to go. Get a gallon of milk. So he pulled in Walgreens, got a gallon of milk, got in his car. He's headed home. Holy Spirit said, don't go home the way you normally go. Go down Vine Street. Well, Lord, that's the long way. He said, kept saying, go down Vine Street. He said, it wasn't audibly. It just, go down Vine Street. He said, I remember what the pastor said. It's an urging. So he goes down Vine Street. Holy Spirit says, now turn on Jackson. That's not the way I go home, Lord. He said to the pastor later, he said, do you know that I can reckon things out in my mind and not follow what the Holy Spirit wants because it don't sound normal? And he said, if I had not listened to that urging you talked to me about, Pastor, the miracle that happened never would have happened. He said, so I turned right down Jackson like the Lord told me to. The Lord said, stop at 613. Pulls over to the curb. 613's got a porch light on. Take the milk to them. He said he got out of his car, got that gallon of milk in the bag, walked up to the door, knocked on the door. Man come to the door and said, can I help you? He said, here. Now, can you imagine how he felt? Man comes to the door, can I help you? Here's your gallon of milk. How dumb is that? In the natural, it's dumb. And the man looks at him and says, are you an angel? He said, no, I'm not an angel. He said, I'm just a man that does what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. I have learned to follow his urgings. The guy said, thank you. He said, because we have no milk. And we don't have money to buy milk. And my wife just got through praying. Because he said, sir, we are Christians. I love the fact he didn't ask him what denomination he was. It don't matter. It don't matter if you Church of Christ, Baptist, Methodist, Assemblies of God, Episcopalian. If your sin's been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're a child of God. Doesn't matter what denomination you are. He said to him, he said, we're Christians. My wife just got through praying, Lord, we have no milk for our baby. If you just send us a gallon of milk. And here's a young man who just learned how to be serious about the Holy Spirit operating in his life. What does he do? He does what he's supposed to do. Their need is met. He is blessed because he was serious about what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do. Do you realize if we just got serious about the Holy Spirit, we would have more leading in our life. We would have more teachings in our life. We would do more what God wants us to do. And things, I ain't gonna worry about them notes. I've never been more serious than I am right now because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm in the grocery line the other day at Brookshire's. The lady in front of me, the Holy Spirit said, buy her stuff. I got the attention of the boy ringing it up. I said, psst. When she gets through, don't just tell her it's free. I'm paying for it. I didn't even know that woman. Never seen her in my life. So you got to know when the urging of the Holy Spirit, when you're serious about the Holy Spirit, it'll change your thinking. It'll change your attitude. Yeah. Amen. Dee and I are sitting in Outback. I bought her groceries. The guys looked at her. She said, simply, he said, ma'am, your groceries are paid for. She said, really? He said, yeah, they're free. Because I told him, I don't want her to know I did that. They're free. She said, really? And she turned and looked at me and she said, you did that, didn't you? I said, no, the Lord did. The Lord did. He just used me to get it done. You know what? If we would get more serious about the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, God could use us in ways that we don't even know about. The Lord shared this with me a few years ago. He said, I have blessings in reserve for my people that they've not even tapped into yet because they're not serious about me being in their life. See, sometimes I think we get saved and we've been saved so long, we just think it's the way it's got to be. I don't think so. I think it ought to be a brand new thing every day. I'm going to tell you what I do. I pray this every day. God, today, lead me to somebody that I can bless. If I'm in an airport, if I'm at the gas station, If I'm in the grocery line, it don't matter. Holy Spirit, lead me to somebody. See, that's why God sent the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll send him. And I love this part right here. It's when Jesus said to the disciples, if I don't go, he can't come. But I love this part. He said, when he does come, he will be everything you will need in your life until I come back. And can I tell you from experience today, and I think a bunch of you could say amen, that I promise you that God, when he left the Holy Spirit here to take care of us and to give us power and give us an anointing, give us leadership, give us a healer, can I tell you this morning, he has been everything I've ever needed. He's guided me where I need to go. He's been there at every step. He has helped me to produce what he wants done on this earth, because I am serious about him operating in my life. It's not just those nine gifts he gives away, faith and being and healings and speaking in tongues. Why do we say we kind of harp on speaking in tongues sometimes? I've been accused of that. It's because it's the initial sign. Because if you say you got it and I don't see any evidence of it, I don't think you got it. Hello? Because if we're serious about the Holy Spirit, people will see the evidence of him in our life. Amen. So the whole thing about the speaking in tongues is the fact, because see, if Pastor Dave said, I just bought a brand new Mercedes, cost $87,000. I know they cost that much because I saw one on the lot the other day. Every now and then I stop and look at them and lust. If he told me that and I never seen him drive it, I never seen him in it, I would doubt he's got it. Hello? You're not going to buy an $87,000 car and leave it in the garage. If you do, you got a problem. But you see, if I never see it, I doubt he's got it. That's why we say it's the initial evidence. Because when somebody knows we speak in tongues, they know we got what we say. We got. I've got the power. That power comes from the Holy Spirit himself. He's a gentleman. And you know what? I love the fact of what he does in my life. I love the fact that I'm tapping into those blessings that he had reserved for me. I tap into them daily. I tap into them daily. Why? Because I want people to understand that it's not me. It's somebody operating through me. You see, the Holy Spirit could do what he wants to. When the Holy Spirit spoke to Dave Remedios during her surgery and said, do not attach a colostomy bag to her, this was the words the Holy Spirit said. She has too much to do for me, and this will hinder her. Just stretch what bit of colon she has left. She had 36 inches left, or not quite 36 inches, he said. He stretched it and clamped it off and sewed it up and done whatever. And on Tuesday, that was on Sunday night, on Tuesday, her plumbing worked. That ain't normal, is it, Debbie? Usually it's like a 4-day thing. And you ain't going home till your plumbing works when you've had major surgery. Hers worked on day two, like she said, worked every day since. And then God put the 36 inches back in her body that he cut out. Why? Because God can do what he wants to do. But if Dave Remedios had not been serious about the Holy Spirit operating in his life, he would have never heard from God. It would have never happened, and she probably might not have lived today. Because that doctor was serious about the Holy Spirit operating in his life. Can you imagine what would happen in your life if you really got serious about the Holy Spirit operating in your life? I pray today that it's either somebody at the hotel, the desk clerk, somebody. See, it's not always about money. It could be a kind word. It could be, say, is there anything I could help you pray about today? You know, that blows people's mind. But you go, well, I don't want to do that. Why? If we're serious about the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't we? Is there anything I could help you pray about today? I was sitting with a pastor eating lunch, and his wife said he does this at every restaurant. As soon as the waiter or waitress comes up, he says, oh, by the way, he says, don't leave after you take the order, because we're going to pray. over our food, and we would like to pray for something maybe in your life that you need done. He did it. He did it. You know why? He's serious about the Holy Spirit. It's not because he's a pastor. She didn't know he was a pastor. He didn't tell her he was a pastor. He didn't give her his card and say, come to my church. No, he was serious about the Holy Spirit operating in his life. And sad to say, and I mean this with all the kindness I know how to say it, most of us are not serious about the Holy Spirit operating in our life. Because if we were, I can tell you this church would not have a place to sit today. Because your neighbors, the people you know that don't know God, we've never given them an ounce of a witness. Hello? I said, brother, you're being ugly. No. I'm just telling you, we're not serious like we could be. There wouldn't be a church empty today, Pastor, anywhere in America, if we that claim we have that power were serious about it. We would be witnessing to our neighbors, to our workers, to our friends, and we'd invite them to the house of God with us. Hello? See, sheep bear sheep. Amen? The shepherd don't bear sheep. Sheep bear sheep. It's the shepherd's job to take care of them. That's his job. It's your job, my job, to get them there. I told my pastor that. It's my job to get them here. You got to keep them. I'll get them here. Because in my town, I witness to them. I pray for them. I do whatever God tells me to do. I was at the car wash just the other day, and I closed with this. I pulled up, and Selena, the girl, little black girl that puts my tag number in the computer and pulls up everything. She said, Reverend, she said, how's your day going? I said, good. How's yours going, Selena? Well, got a little problem, Reverend. I got a growth right here. She pulled her little shirt back. Huge. I'd never seen it. She kept it covered up. She said, you think God could do something with that? I said, I know he could. I said, I'm going to pray for you. We didn't care those people waiting in line to get their car washed. We didn't care that the vacuum people were vacuuming. Because I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, pray for her. Pray for her. Hello? And did you know nobody in line said, hey, would y'all hurry up? Now, you'd think the devil would have sent at least one by. At least one. They all said, you know why? Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he can stop the devil like that. He can stop the devil's people like that. A few days later, she saw me and she said, well, she said, it's still here, but she said, I believe it's not cancer. She said, they're going to take it out. She said, God's provided the money. I said, oh, Selena, that's great. She had it removed, and it was non-cancerous. She said, I believe that prayers of people like you caused it to not be cancerous. I don't know. I just did what I'm supposed to do. And I felt good, Pastor. I felt good about buying that woman's groceries. I felt good when I gave that waitress at Applebee's an extra $20. Tip. You're going, why would you do that? Because the Holy Spirit said to. That's why. See, we miss out on the blessings of God because we're not serious enough about what he tells us to do. Because we will write it off and just dismiss it. Stand with me, please. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for these wonderful people. I thank you for this wonderful church. Lord, I pray today that every person in here this morning, before they leave this building today, before they walk out those doors, I don't care how long they visit with each other. If they need to go right to lunch, whatever, God. But I pray before they leave these doors that they will make a commitment to you today that they're going to get serious about the Holy Spirit working and living in their life. That what you tell them to do, they will do. Father, I know this has been scattered, but it doesn't matter because the anointing breaks every yoke. It's not the preaching that breaks it. It's the anointing that breaks every yoke. And today, God, I don't know everybody in this building. Someone could have come in this building today, Lord, that does not know you as their personal Savior. They've never had an encounter where someone asked them, are your sins forgiven? And Lord, I would be remiss if I let anyone walk out those doors today that don't know you. Because Lord, see, if I don't give them an opportunity and they miss heaven, then their blood's required on my hands. And I don't want that. So through your Holy Spirit, through your anointing, through your urging today, Lord, I want to give them an opportunity to accept Jesus. And this morning, while no one's looking but me, there's nothing spiritual in closing the eyes. We just do it so it's a matter of reverence. Is there anyone here today? I'm not going to embarrass you, but you'll say, I'm not a Christian, and I want to give my life to Jesus today right where I stand. And if you do, I want you to put your hand up and put it back down. That's all I want you to do. Just up and back down. And I'm looking across this congregation. Anybody at all? You say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to accept him as my personal Savior. Anybody at all? You're not a Christian, but you want to be. You want your sins forgiven. You want them put under the blood. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone? Anyone? All right, I'm going to ask this whole congregation to pray a prayer with me. And the one that raised their hand, I'm going to ask you to pray the same prayer. Dear Jesus, today, I'm serious. If there's sin in my life, forgive me. Be the Lord of my life. I'll serve you. I'll read your word. I will follow your commandments. And today, I accept you as my Savior and as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The beauty of Jesus is he made it easy to receive him. Because in a matter of 7.5 seconds, one prayer opens heaven for you. That person, it opened heaven for you. If you die this afternoon, you'll go to heaven. And for some of you that repeated that prayer, you probably got rid of some sin you need to get rid of. That's awesome. I said, that's awesome. Now, for those that need to leave, I'm going to let you leave. But Dee is going to come up here and join me. And if you need a miracle in your life and you would like prayer today, you can't be back tonight, then you come and stand. We're going to pray for you.